And remember that family. They're at the funerals tomorrow at 10 or 12 or sometime. Bolivan. Bolivan. Yep. So just remember him in your prayer. Monica's mother died Wednesday night. So they're all down there. At the funeral will be tomorrow. Well, they sent a text just as soon as the service was over. That she had just passed. She's okay. Yeah. Just pray for the family. They've got some decisions they got to make about finances. I don't know if they had insurance, and I don't know if they had burial insurance. So let's just keep them in your prayers as far as that goes, because it does cost money to do things nowadays. So, and let me make a suggestion. If you don't have insurance, life insurance, at least get some. It's very cheap. It's very, well, if you had had it before and you were paying it, it would be cheap. Okay? I'm not berating you at all, but why in the world would you die and leave your kids and family to have to pay this huge bill? Still, you got to pay. What if you're sick for 6 months before you die? Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Cremation is $6,000 to $8,000, so what do you, I mean, yeah, at least that much. A $10,000 life insurance policy is only about $20 a month. I don't care if you're high risk. So a $10,000 will at least get you buried. Of what? Insurance? Okay. Okay. Have you looked at Xander?
Yes.
For all, both of you? Yeah, but y'all are old. Y'all are old. I wish they would not. I don't, the reason this pops up is I don't cut this computer on except on Sundays. I guess I need to start doing it at home. Okay. All right, now, but listen, just pray for the family, and they've got some decisions to make about the, it still takes money to run the world, whether we like it or not. We need to at least not be so, you know, Brother Branham said, I'm talking over here. Brother Branham said, you know, he said, if you're going to get married, he said, and you know the Lord's coming tomorrow, what did he say to do? Get married. He said, if you're planting potatoes and then you know the Lord's coming tomorrow, plant potatoes. I mean, come on, let's don't be ignorant. At least have something in place where you're not a hardship, because we all think we're going to take the body change, but you know what? That's a very low percentage. Let's just be honest. So, huh? That's right. One out of Georgia. The rest of them better get insurance. Right, Brother Ray? That's what he said. You just got to believe you're the one. Yeah, okay. All right. That's probably not the criteria, but you can believe that if you want to. Let's just walk in the Word and just remember one thing. We're still human beings. We still got life to live, and we still got things we got to do. So, you all went through the Dave Ramsey class. You know what he says about stuff like that. So, let's don't be a burden on people if we do have to kick the bucket. So, fourthly, we're talking now on temperance. We started last Sunday really talking about temperance, and we got into some good, if you weren't here last Sunday, you need to listen to last Sunday's, because it was really, really good how we got into life. And that's what we were talking about, because the Bible says in 2 Peter, it says it talks about life and godliness. So it's talking about your life, and it's talking about being godly in that life. So that, when we get up to faith, virtue, knowledge, when we get to temperance, he says we come to temperance. Now you've got faith first, have to have that to begin with. Then you add virtue to your faith. But watch what he says right here. He says, if it's the right kind of virtue, it's got to be a born-again Holy Ghost virtue. Then you add virtue to faith if it's the right kind of virtue. Then you add knowledge if it's the right kind of knowledge. Now we're going to add temperance. Temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol here either. No, no. Temperance doesn't mean alcoholic cure, not in this case. This is Bible temperance. Holy Spirit temperance. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh, but we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. Now the lust of the flesh is he's talking about drinking alcohol. All right? But we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your tongue, not be a tattler, how to control your temper. Now, it's not whether we get Sister Barbara to control her temper. That's our problem. Where's Anna? Oh, she's got a little extra baggage to carry, so she can be late a little bit, Sister Anna. But not fly off on every hand. Don't see what he's talking about? He's not how to control your temper. Now look. Pay attention. It didn't say how to get rid of your temper. Brother Branham never said get rid of your temper. You cannot get rid of your temper. You're human. Exactly. And Brother Claude, we talked this morning, but he called me the other day, and he's always got these little tidbits. You know, I love Brother Claude because he can sit and do my studying for me. Because he's retired, so he sits at home, and he just goes through the Internet and looks things up, you know, and all this stuff. And then he calls me, and he'll email it to me or send it to me, and I'll get to use it. So he's my study partner, but he's doing all the studying. But him being retired, then that's great. He can do that. He can take his time and do that. But he said that suffering brings happiness. You think about that? Everything in the Bible tells about suffering. But after the suffering is the happiness. If you didn't suffer at all, what would you be happy about? You tell me. What would you be happy about if you didn't suffer? Now, when we say suffer, we don't mean laying and agonizing in pain. We're talking about suffering for our children, job, home, husband, wife. That's suffering. But suffering brings happiness. And that's exactly the truth. You can't have happiness without suffering. How much more the suffering in this world, the Bible says, and knowing that the happiness is coming, but we got to suffer. What did the Bible say? We must suffer to reign. He went through all the scriptures where the Bible talks about suffering. Look at the Ten Commandments. I mean, look at the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes is not something that's an easy thing to do. So neither is temper. How to control your temper, not fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. Because, see, Jesus got angry. There was a part of his fleshly anger that took over when he drove those people out of the temple. He drove them out. Brother Branham said he stood and plaited the rope, and he, in other words, he thought of what he was going to do. He premeditated it. All right? So realize one thing's for sure. As long as we're in this thing, you'll never eradicate or do away with temper. It says control your temper. We all get upset. Is that not temper? We all get upset. That's temper. But it's what you do after the thing pops up as to whether you know that God has took that thing. And to me, it's God puts a ceiling on it. A ceiling. S-A-C-E-I-L. A ceiling. Puts a ceiling on it. You can go, yeah, you can only go so far. When we were out in the world and did the things of the world, when we flipped people off and cursed at them, there was no, our ceiling was not there. We just said what was on our mind, right? But Holy Ghost temperance, puts a ceiling on it, which means that you can go so far and then God starts checking you and saying, hey, remember, I would say, now if Jesus was here, in a corporal body, I would ask him that when he was going through his trial of the cross, of the thorns and the beatings, that something didn't come across him of a little bit of anger or a little bit of grief or a little bit of, say, he suffered, didn't he? He was a human mortal man, right? But something inside of him kept him under submission, right? Because he did portray the anger part. When he was alive, when he was not there at Pilate's hall, he portrayed the anger part when he drove those people out of the temple. But see, when he come down to where, God took him on the mountain and adopted him, said, this is the person you got to be like, then what happened at Calvary, or the time up to Calvary, it didn't do away with the human man. It controlled it. It controlled everything that he was so under control until it wasn't that he was ever out of control. But what about the man that was driving the people out of the temple? Well, those same people were crucifying him. Wouldn't you think if they were something different? He grew in grace and knowledge, the Bible said. So he grew, and at Calvary, he didn't get angry as far as he got angry in the temple. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. All right? Now, why didn't he say that in the temple? All he had to do was say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. No, he was a human mortal man. But God was so much in that man that he took over what was going on in that human mortal man. Our spirit is not the Holy Spirit. His spirit was the Holy Spirit. But he still grew in grace and knowledge. The Bible said he did. And being made perfect. So when he went to Mount Transfiguration, he was being made perfect. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. Well, that's the capstone. That's the love. That means that whatever Jesus went through, that human mortal man of Jesus was at a position that God could use him. Same way with Brother Branham. Was he not going to kill those boys? Remember? He would have been a murderer. He was going to shoot those boys. But then you come on later in life, they persecuted him not physically, but they persecuted him spiritually, mentally. They kicked him out of the church. He had no friends. Well, he didn't rile at them people. Billy Paul said, the thing I loved about my dad was you couldn't tell who was his enemies and who was his friends. They were all, well, why? He had come to a place, just like we all have to come to a place when we started in our journey. We're still going to be angry. We're still going to be upset. We're still going to be doing things wrong. But we should come to a place to where that ceiling is lower and lower. Everybody understand what I mean? Your toleration level is down here, not way up yonder. She had her hand up first. That's correct. Right.
I think it says to train up a child in the way it should go. So you're using a different meaning. If a child is naughty or an enemy comes against you, you have a spiritual right to control yourself.
Sure you do. Absolutely. Right. That's why knowledge is before temperance. You'd think you'd want to control your temper at the very beginning. But if you have knowledge to control that temper, see, that's where God comes in. He gives you the knowledge that, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Or like you said, this is child training, or this is something we got to go through, or this is, God will show you through knowledge. He'll show you what to do. Sure. It was all to a place where God had took the man to a place that he had trained Brother Branham. And it's not that he didn't hunt. Now, he hunted after 1963 and killed game, because he killed all them game in Africa right before he died. So it wasn't just exactly that. But you come to a place to where that's not important anymore. To me, I used to have a bad temper, did I? I mean, it would be kind of quick and then it'd go away. I never held a grudge, did I? I just don't hold grudges. If you say something to me and I get a little mad, I don't hold a grudge. It just don't bother me a bit. I don't care. I really don't. It's not that you don't care. It's that you can handle it better. Because I can handle it better than I used to could. Right. That's a part of your temperance.
We always talk about controlling your temper. So, explain that.
Go back to the root. Why do you tattle? I mean, I don't. You don't. But why do people tattle? They're angry at somebody. I do. When I told on people, I told on people because they did something to me most of the time. Or something that I hated.
Why do we all run our tongue? Is that because we're mad?
Mm-hmm. Way down deep inside, you got something. Do you tattle on something you like? Do you gossip about something you like? No, you just talk about it. I don't gossip about deer hunting because I like deer hunting.
But you can gossip and it be
true. Yes, you can. But still, it makes you angry, though. I mean, if it makes you angry, whether it's truth or not. How many of us have heard the truth and got angry?
Yeah.
Raise your hand. Thank you. Truth hurts. Truth hurts.
What's another word for temperance?
Well, wisdom is back there at four. At knowledge. Temperance to me is like Sister Trudy said. It's you temper your thoughts, or you temper your tongue.
You bring it to the middle of the road.
That's correct. Temper means to bring something together. We're going to look up the word temperance. Not today. We won't have time. It's almost 15 after. But we're going to look up the word temperance as in what the world calls temperance. And then we're going to bring it in to Bible temperance. Because, Brother Brown, see, you can go to temperance, which means don't drink alcohol. Well, that's tempering your what? Your desire. Now, see, there's another thing. You go to desire. To me, desire goes through all that. Don't you desire to have virtue? You desire to have knowledge. You desire to have temperance. It's your desire. Desire goes all the way up through. Now, to me, that goes back to what I said. You still have a choice. Being a full-blown Christian, just a full-fledged Holy Ghost-filled person, you still got a choice. Right? Desire. Desire is a choice. Right? I desire to have virtue, so God, I'm going to just lay here until you give me virtue. What was that Brother Bram said? The guy said, God, I'm going to lay here until you find a bag of bones. Till you give me the Holy Ghost. Well, you know what? That kind of desire, God has to meet that because it's a desire to worship Him and not other things. What our problem is that we get this, let me word my words right, that we get this thing in us that we've got to, and what does most of the time, what does tattling do? What does tail-bearing do? It hurts someone else's feelings. Right? Not so much as hurts yours. Your tattletailing and your jackjawing is hurting somebody else. So they got to have temperance. You're trying their patience, faith, and all that stuff. You're trying them when you tattle on or tell something that true or not true. True or not true. You're taking somebody up to another level because what's the first thing you do if you hear about it, and even if it's true? It's like Daddy, you know, he says, don't discuss doctrine that's not conducive to this church in between yourself. Bring it to Brother Dale. Well, now it's going to get his righteous indignation up when he what? Hears you tattling to the next person and the next person to the next, and then he hears it 14th person, not first person. Sorry, it's going to make your temperance get tried, right? Because he tells you what to do, just like us as adults. When our kids do everything we tell them to do, which is 1% of the whole entire time they live, maybe, we're happy. 0.5%? Okay. We'll give them 0.5%. But the other 99, what does it do? It tries our temperance. Same way with God. You don't think God's got feelings?
No.
Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost was what? Timid. Now that's feelings. You hurt the Holy Ghost's feelings, he's going to not come out of you and you become a sinner, but he's going to what? Withdraw himself, go out on a limb, prophet said, and sit there and wait on you to call him back because he's a gentleman. He's very timid. Now being timid is a emotion. Well, we just read God hates this. He despises this. See, so there's things in God that if he made us in his image, then he's got the same emotions we do. It's just a Holy Ghost emotion that never makes a mistake. Our emotions are human emotions that make a mistake, and we got to go back and say, God, forgive me. Well, he has no God to ask forgiveness to. He's God, and he said when he says it the first time, it's always right because he's already got it thought out. You and I are not that way. But you know what? If we ever stop, you know the old saying, stop and count to 10? Well, what does that do? That just don't mean just stop and count to 10 just because you can count to 10 and you have to wait till your anger. No, what are you do? What are they telling you to do? Hold on a minute. Pause. Think about it. Temperance, exactly what it is. Blind rage is not temperance. Temperance is how to answer in kindness when wrath is spoke to you. Or find out somebody's been tattling. I can see that. Can you see it better now? Whether it's more of if, let's say, take all the gossip columns out. There'd be hardly any news. Would they? There'd be hardly any news. Take the gossip columns out while they got, just go to Walmart and stand in line and look at all them books. Them True Story, Brother Brown talking about True Story and all that People magazine. What is that? Tale bearers, gossip. And they just sell and sell and sell and sell. And a lot of people get mad about it. But here we are with God when we go upstairs in church. Our life then is an open book. And if Brother Dale hits something or Brother Jewel hits something or somebody hits something and we get angry, how many times have you seen it? People get angry and leave the church. Now, that's not Holy Ghost temperance. That's your ungodly temper, where we'll read in just a minute, where you can't control it. You might get a little upset, but you'll say, God, that was the truth. And you know what? Then, like he said, the sorrow comes before happiness. You get your hide burnt, but you know what? God's only going to chasten his children. He's not going to chasten the devil's kids. He's only going to chasten his own children. So if you get chastened by God and you realize that it's for your own good and you say, thank you, Lord, then what more happiness is that God has come to you and said, hey, you need to work on this. And I've come and brought somebody to tell you that, and I have made it aware in your spirit that you're supposed to change, and you've acted right. Now, see, that puts all that together. Process. Yes. To temperance. They heat it. They heat it. Fiery trials. That's what the Bible says. Fiery trials. Yep. That's like the dross of the gold. To get the shiny gold out, you actually have to, before they come up with the smelting process of melting it, the man would sit there and beat it with a hammer. And what did it do? It throwed all the junk off of the nugget. But when you got finished, the nugget cost more because it didn't have all the impurities in it. So we're tried by fire, as the Bible says, right? Coming out is pure gold. All right, so that's what I mean about temperance. What more to see that, let me just give you an example. And Terrence doesn't mind me telling you. He told me one time, so I guess I can tell it because it's true. He didn't like to wash black people's feet for a long time. He was a little bit prejudiced. He told me this. Had a hard time with it. Didn't do it. Avoided it. And then God brought it to his attention one day through something. I don't know what it was. And that changed his whole attitude of that. Well, you know what? That's God telling his child, you're acting up. Do better. And he did. See, if he wasn't a child, God can still come and tell you things. This little thing that comes on in your psyche or of yourself, it says, you shouldn't do that. Well, now you can override that and go and do it again. That's where Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost. Then you don't get a life-changing experience when you come up to temperance if you don't allow God to get rid of that thing for you. Or at least not get rid of it, I'm sorry, to cover it or to lessen it. I mean, we get angry every day. Don't we? At something, even our own self. We get angry, you know, we lose our car keys or something. Well, who do you get angry? You get angry with yourself. But do you know what? Yes, it's okay that, well, I didn't mean that for Joyce. I actually meant it for Trudy. But Joyce, you're in that category too. Well, yeah, this is an epidemic. That's correct. That's correct. Well, to be tempered to the middle is put your car keys in one place. Joyce? Well, hey, we've got an epidemic here. These two right here do the same thing. Frida will call 100 times out of 100, and she'll say, I lost my car keys. I left my insulin. Where's my foot? But listen, what we do with that. Now, see, if we become so callous to that and say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, it does, because it keeps you aggravated all the time. You need to put forth an effort to put the things where they need to go. Everybody doesn't have a Danny Fountain that hands me the keys and says, here, Joyce is going to need these. You know, I mean, and it wasn't an hour after we got where we were going that Joyce wouldn't come and ask me. She sent Hope. Mama can't find her keys. Don't you have the extra set Dad gave you? That was one time. That's enough for me. But it happens. I know. Huh? Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Mixed together to give you temper. Good girl. You do show up for some reason. You know what? You do show up for some reason. That's good. Preach, sister. Preach. It's my arm just... Yeah, somewhere he does. Right. Right. Everything. Mr. Rung. Right. Excuse me, that's correct. That is correct. I wish we could do it where the marks were going this way and you needed faith all the way up and virtue all the way up. But has anybody ever had a bad temper and realized that it was over the way you used to be? That's the way I want to say. Well, see, Dad did too, remember, when the guy slapped Daddy. See, that God's going to... Well, see, there's the suffering. Suffering brings happiness. He had to suffer through a slap in the face. But what did he do the next... What did he do 5 minutes afterwards? God brought to his brain, that's over with. And he rejoiced because that was over with. Because, you know, that's a hard thing for some people. Let somebody slap you. You know? What would you do right now? You say, well, I know what I'd do. Well, do you? Because you know what? Brother Brown said, God will try these things to show you where you're at. Brother Brown said, you can be anywhere, you know, anywhere with God at any time. You will know that. That's like Claude was saying the other day. You know where you're at with God. You know you still got a temper there somewhere. You know? And you know what? Somewhere it's going to manifest in front of somebody as a witness. And then you're going to say, God, I need to work on that. I am not where I should be. But let's read a few more of these before we, just one more minute. Add these things. Excuse me. Boy, a lot of us is going to fall off before we get started, aren't we? See, then we wonder why God is not in his church doing miracles and things that they used to do. Yes, sir. You know why? Because the book of Acts had these virtues working in their life. That's what we lost down through the church ages. And Brother Branham come not to just restore that. He came to bring us back to the faith of the fathers, but to take us on in a rapture. So if you want to say from 1947 to 1963, which this was in 62, he comes to the statue of a perfect man. And I'm to the point where I can say that from 47 to 63, he brought us back to what the book of Acts had, but it was only in Brother Branham at that time. Partially in other people. All right? Partially in other people. But Brother Branham came to a capstone to where God sealed these things in. It took him from 47 to 63, God leading him through. So don't think we're going to get it overnight. It's going to be a work in progress, a WIP. But add these things. Add temperance to it. Oh, temperance, how to answer in kindness when wrath is spoken to you. Somebody says, you bunch of holy rollers down there, don't jump out and roll up your sleeves. Because see, he saw that in Pentecost. He said he'd have the temperance to fight a temper to fight a buzzsaw, right? But speak in tongues and go to church and say you got the Holy Ghost. Don't jump up and roll up your sleeves. Now, see, not that. But taught with godly love, temperance, kindness. Is that the way you want to be? Congregation says amen. When you're riled up, rile not back. Let him be your example. When they said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread, he could have done it and showed he was God. See, you could do it and show you're God. That's what Daddy's talking about growing up into this place to where we come to the third pull, to where the third pull is going to be made manifest. The third pull is not going to be made manifest in a baby. Because they don't know how to handle it. It's like giving a car, it's giving the keys to Jonas to a jet rocket. It'd be a disaster. But now train him up for 25 years, let him be about 28 years old, 26 years old, then give him the keys. He knows what to do with it. He won't be a disaster with it. Well, that's the same way with God. If he gives us the keys now to the kingdom, like this, he gives us the keys, we would be a disaster. We'd hurt feelings. We'd do all these things wrong. We would zap our boss out of existence. First thing we'd do, or our spouse, or a daughter-in-law. See there? So you got a temperance problem right there. When they call you Beelzebub, he said, I'll forgive you for that. Can you do that? Can you love your in-laws as much as you love your own family? All right, let's go. You know what? Prayer. Prayer.